Okay, everyone. This is the business meeting for Kahlua. This is Jerry Arakawa, president of California Library Users, and I'd like to call this business meeting to order. You know, being up here, it's very difficult to get a sense of who all is here. So I wonder if real quick, we could just introduce ourselves so we know who, how many people we have here and who's actually here. We don't have a sighted volunteer to prompt us, so yeah, but who knows when that person's going to show up. So why don't we just try to wing it and see who all is here. In the first row, we'll start at the far left of the room as you face the head table.
That's me, Keith Johnson.
Okay.
I'm Mike.
Great. Anyone to Mike's right down the row?
I'm Steve Fort, Baby Chapter.
Okay. 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 Second row. Okay.
I'm Pam Loveland. Still a member of
Alameda
County Chapter. I live in
Oakland. Oh. Okay. Anyone else in that second row? Okay. Okay. How about the third row? Okay.
Connie Bateman, Council
of Chapter
Central.
DIU Paris,
Orientation
Center for
the
Board. Okay. And I'm Sam Doherty, back here by myself, from San Francisco.
Okay. Okay. Anyone behind Eric? Okay. Well, welcome to all of you, and great to see all of you people here. We have a number of things we want to get done today, so I'm going to be a little bit on a quick march because we want to. What I'd like to get done is. We want to read the minutes, which Debbie has for us. Then we will have elections, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. We will have, I'll talk a little bit about membership and dues. And we'll talk about this afternoon's very exciting lunch program, which I think is sold out by now. We'll talk a bit more about that. And finally, I want to reserve the bulk of the time for a discussion on the one convention versus two during the year. And we'll, because I want to get a sense from the membership as your president, which way this affiliate should cast its vote on Sunday's election. Okay? Okay, without any further ado, whatever that is, we'll have Debbie read the minutes.
Let's see. Okay. These are the minutes for Kahlua, dated April 3rd, 2009. The CLUA was called to order by Jerry Arakawa at approximately 11 a.m. The minutes were read by the recording secretary and approved. The treasurer's report was not available at this time. The rollout for the digital talking books will be discussed by our speaker, Michael Marlin. The new upgrade for the Victor Stream is downloadable and has significant improvements. Bill Berry said that the holders for the cartridges are available through the exhibit hall through Sterling Adaptives. Fundraising suggestions: donate Victor Reader Stream or Book Sense for a prize for raffle tickets. The question was asked if libraries recycle tapes, and if not, to implement a program to do so. The question was asked about our dues. Our dues go to the state organization, pay our speakers' luncheons. National dues go toward the production of the newsletter and for the program at national conventions to pay for speakers to include talking book narrators. Of course, this is not an option for our chapter, local chapter, Kahlua in California, to have narrators because of the exorbitant price. However, it was suggested that we have local narrators that read for libraries. The idea of fundraising was also discussed, quote, passing the hat, which was discussed pros and cons. The meeting was adjourned at approximately 11:50 a.m. Respectfully submitted, Recording Secretary Debbie Berry.
Okay. Thank you very much, Debbie. Let me have a motion to approve the... Well, first, yeah, let's first have a motion to approve the minutes.
I so move.
Okay. Second? Allow?
Second.
Okay, very good. Any discussion? Okay.
Mr. President?
Yes.
Was there also, Debbie, was there also some discussion of the Constitution at that meeting?
No.
No, we did that before.
In the meeting before, but not this last one.
Okay.
Great. Any other discussion items? Okay. Hearing none. All in favor of approving the minutes as read?
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Okay. Excellent job, Debbie. Thank you.
Thank you.
For the treasurer's report, I talked briefly to Peter, and he's doing exhibits, so he wasn't available. I did want to ascertain whether he's interested in running again for treasurer, because there's a his position's up for election, and he said he was, but he didn't have his treasurer's report with him. I will see him later at the exhibits and see if he has that, and we will definitely get that to you at the next meeting, because I think as a membership, you certainly have a right and even a need to know how we're doing or how our coffers are, if we've balanced our books and what have you. So I will try to get that to you for certain at our next meeting in the spring. Now I want to talk in the glory brought up the issue of the Constitution, and in keeping with the provisions of the Constitution, which we adopted last spring, we are having elections for three positions. The first being that of vice president, and that position has been filled up to now by Pat Wolf. We also have the position of treasurer that's up for election, and currently the position is being filled by Peter Pardini. And we have one board member, one seat, that was a one-year term, and that's being filled by Gloria Broderick. And that's going to be a two-year term. And so let's see. Let me ask, now that we have a little bit more time, is there anyone in the room with any side at all?
Yes.
Oh, great, because we might need to rely on you for a vote count. Well,
let me put it this way. I will try.
Okay. Well, that's all right. I'm going to promise on behalf of the membership, we're not going to do anything nasty like raise two hands or raise or vote twice or three times or whatever. Yeah. Okay, so let me start our election process, and just as way of refresher, under the provisions of the Constitution, in the odd numbered years or the odd years, the vice president and treasurer and one board position will be up for election. In the even numbered year, the president, secretary, and the other board member will be up for election. And because we had a staggered election this time, one position that was open was a 1 year term to be filled at the next fall meeting. So this, as I said, this position that's going to be up for election will now be a 2 year term, and we'll be back on track. So let me start by we'll have our vote for the vice president. As I said, currently
Pat Wolf is filling that job, and I will hold the nominations open. Any nominations for the office of Vice President?
I'll run again.
Okay. Pat Wolf's name is placed in nomination. Any other nominations? Any other nominations? Any other nominations? Okay. We'll forego the formality of closing the nominations and elect Pat by acclamation as our Vice President. All right. Congratulations, Pat. Yeah. You see? Yes. It gets tougher. It gets tougher. Yeah, that's right.
Mr. President.
Gloria?
I just wanted to remind people that you do need to be a member of COLA to vote.
Correct. Okay. Next, we have the position of treasurer, and that's being filled currently by Peter Pardini. He did tell me that he was interested in running again. And are there any other nominations for that office, for the office of treasurer? Any nominations? Any other nominations? Any names for treasurer? Okay, I didn't think that would be a viciously fought contest. In fact, we'd have to pay Peter for being treasurer, but he's done a very good job, and I will certainly pass on the congratulations to him. So Peter will be our treasurer for the next 2 years. And now we have the position of board of director, currently filled by Gloria Broderick, the one term, as I said, and this now will become a two-year term. And first, Gloria, are you interested in continuing? Will you place your name in the nomination again?
Yes.
Okay. So Gloria Broderick's name has been placed as a board member. Any other nominations? Any other nominations? Any other nominations?
Bateman.
Okay. The name of Connie Bateman has been placed for consideration for the board of directors. Any other nominations? Any other nominations? Any other nominations? Okay. So we will now vote and hear where we're going to... And what's your name? I'm sorry.
I'm Linda.
Okay, Linda. All right. Thank you. Well, here's where we're going to ask for your help here. What we'll do, I will... First, we're not doing this yet, but first I'm going to ask all of you who are voting for Gloria Broderick to raise your hand as the incumbent. And then I'll ask for those of you who are voting for Connie Bateman. And Linda, rather than say the number, just let us know who has the majority. Okay?
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Those voting for Gloria Broderick, please raise your hand. Okay. Those voting for Connie Bateman, please raise your hand. Okay. Connie Bateman. Congratulations, Connie, and you're up for 2 years. Okay, and your term will start in January, and you'll be here for 2 years. Thank you very much for all of your participation. Next, we want to talk a little bit about membership, and our roster currently has 27 members. And what what this is leading to, of course, is the dreaded subject of dues. Dues are paid on an annual basis. Excuse me here. Let me take this microphone out of my brain here. There we go. Dues are paid collected on an annual basis, and they are $20. $12 of which goes to the national organization, and then we pay. A yearly or semi-annual fee to CCB, and we keep the remainder, as Debbie said in her minutes, to use for a variety of purposes. So Jews are what I want to coordinate with Peter is to send out a message so that there's a minimum of confusion. I don't know how many of you received a letter from Adam Rushaval, who's the treasurer of Lua, and he sends out a membership a dues renewal notification. So we will. And when he does that, number one, he references only the dues to Lua, which is $12. And so then we have to either pay the other $8, or we people become confused about who should receive the monies, the dues funds. So what I did, I talked to Adam earlier this year, and I told him that we will keep him updated with the full roster early in January. We will send out notices to all the members so that checks can be paid to Kalua and sent directly to Peter. But I'm going to coordinate that with Peter, so we can set up a time when dues will be paid, when our notices will go out. Of course, you are all highly welcome to pay dues to us here at the convention. Last year, both in the fall and the spring, I collected dues here at the table. So you can do that if you like. I'll just recheck your vital information, your telephone number, address, email, and the like. So if you want to do that, please do so. I'm always around at the convention. You can pay at this meeting or at the lunch. Okay, but we certainly want to continue to increase that membership.
Jerry,
yes.
This is Connie Reed.
Uh-huh.
What exactly do when you pay membership?
Yes. Well, that's a very good question. It really is a good question, because what you get is the copy of the Lua ledger.
That's something
I will also. I've heard that from others as well. I got one for the summer, and you should know that sometimes the publication comes out, I believe it's twice a year, and right?
It comes out. I'm a national Lua board member, which is why Jerry was asking me. But it comes out twice a year is when it's supposed to come out, but it often comes out once a year instead.
Yeah, that time can be kind of sporadic. So it may say summer edition, and you get it in the fall. The editor of the Lua Ledger is Judy Cannon, and so what I'll do, in addition to talking with Adam, I will definitely give Judy a call and coordinate this, but find out what's happening with the ledger and how often they plan to send it out.
When you guys say that you haven't received your ledgers, have you paid your state to your national dues?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really interesting. I'm really disappointed to hear that.
So that might be something you want to take to the board, because I just as I told you, I did speak with Adam. I believe it was around. Yeah, I know it was before ACB convention. So it was around June, because he wanted to update us on all the. He wanted to get an update of the funds received and the names, addresses, and so forth of all the Kalua members.
I actually thought you guys had reconciled your rosters, you and Adam.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
We did. That's exactly what we did.
I don't understand that.
So,
I wonder if it sounds like what's happening is that Judy Cannon, because she does the labels for the ledger as well, it sounds like she didn't get the information from Adam, which is not a good thing. But anyway, that might have been what happened.
Okay, so I will definitely report back to you in the spring about this, because I will talk to her regarding this, because you certainly should get the Lua, the ledger. what we also do, as a membership, we participate in advocacy, both at the local and state level, and sometimes we're asked to participate with, in an effort that Lua is mounting. We are by far, correct me if I'm wrong on this, Gloria, but we are by far the largest state affiliate of Lua. And so,
well, there's only two states.
Yeah, I know, and the other one is hardly around, right?
It's the other one is Texas. So
yeah,
they're there.
So, obviously the national is very concerned with maintaining Kalua as an affiliate. And we talked, I'm not going to raise this discussion here now. We can always bring it up again later. We did have a discussion about whether the membership wanted to just be a state organization affiliated only with CCB, or whether it wanted to retain its affiliation with Lua. And most, the general consensus was that we wanted to continue our affiliation with Lua. So Lua is very interested in maintaining our membership, and because they use our name as a as a selling point if they do advocacy work, and so at the state level, we're also I'm able to, when I write letters or if I talk to folks, I can say that we are as part of an advocacy effort, that our organization is the largest statewide consumer organization of library users and that really does go a long way. That causes people to listen, whether it's legislatures or legislators or other, any other organization. So that's why the viability of this organization is important. It happens, it comes to the fore in a lot of different ways. Part of what we do, as Debbie indicated in her minutes, is to fund our speakers. And if I say so myself, we've had very good speakers. We've had excellent informational folks. And I'm very proud of the efforts we've made to keep that tradition going. I think the size of the lunch that Lua and BRLC put together really is testament to how popular, how informative the speakers are. It's much more than just a social networking time, because people really, I think, benefit from the information provided by our speakers. So those are some of the things, Connie, that that arise out of the dues. And as a segue, I will talk about our speaker. Our speaker this afternoon will be Wendy Eisenberg. She is the librarian for the Fresno Talking Book Library Service, and she's going to be talking to us about what's happening in Fresno and how the digital rollout is affecting their library and timetables. I think she's going to bring some kind of a dog and pony show where she'll have some of the players. If you haven't seen one, many of us have already seen the new digital player, which is a pretty cool thing, if I say so myself.
So, can I have a short comment?
Yes, Debbie.
Just a short comment on Newsline for the Blind that's done by the NFB, and they do, I think, just a terrific job, and state sponsors. If you look at our state's information, the Fresno Braille Library does have their, I believe there's two or possibly three of their library's newsletters, and I think they're very good. They're similar to what we have at the Braille Institute Library, and they talk about books, and I've added some to my list based on reading their newsletter, their library newsletter.
Yeah, that's thank you, Debbie. It's there's so much more we can do in terms of our lunch speakers and our programs. I'm very, very excited about Kalua's future. From time to time, I've talked to some of you, and you've come to me and mentioned that, boy, this is a time unprecedented. Never before have blind and visually impaired people have access to so much information. In fact, you know, it's almost information overload. We can spend our entire life just sitting in front of a computer or looking at Google or looking at electronic encyclopedias or on the telephone listening to a variety of newspapers. I mean, it's wide open. We are kind of at a crossroads, and so all of your efforts are just so vital to what's going to be happening for information access to blind and visually impaired people. We've talked about the Kindle, Amazon, and now Sony's coming out with a Rival machine, and I believe that the whole phenomenon of the e-book is going to become more and more important. And as an organization, I'd like us to be at the very forefront of advocating for complete, full access with the Kindle and with the Sony product. I participated with CCB at an information center. It's an information fair at UCLA. It was basically a book fair, and the Kindle was featured. It was one of the exhibitors, and so we had pulled together a number of consumer groups. The Federation was there, and other folks who were interested in media access were there, and I was there for some hours as a Kahlua representative. Albert Contreras was there. Ken Meth was there. Quite a few of us. So, you know, this is the kind of stuff I'd like us to get more and more involved with, because we're going to continue to have this tremendous access to information, and I want to make sure that we don't get left out.
Excuse me.
Yes.
This is Dean Harris speaking. I'm currently a student at the Orientation Center for the Blind.
Yes.
And we're being taught how to download books from library covers.
Yeah.
The problem that we have, it's very difficult. How can they make it easy?
Well, you know, that's a very good...
There's like 35 steps to download.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what we'll do, Dee? I think maybe we can get Michael Marlin again from Sacramento, the state library. He was here in the spring, and... in the spring convention, if he's able to come out to San Francisco, maybe we will, Burlingame, we can have him come out and talk specifically about downloading. Or is that something that you've done a lot, Rob?
Pardon?
I was asking Rob Turner, but maybe he's left. He's an employee of Bookshare, and so I'm sure he does a lot of that stuff. But maybe what we'll do...
Bookshare is a little difficult, too.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy what you have to do to get a book.
Yeah.
You know, it takes you a half hour to get a book.
Mm-hmm.
John Birch.
Yeah, that's a good question for Wendy to talk about this afternoon. And maybe what we can do, we'll have a board meeting and talk about this, because this might be a time when we use our morning time for a program, and we can have some practical how-to demonstration on how to download books from some of these sites, or do it at the lunch.
Well, comment?
I wonder if we should write a resolution to these people and stating how difficult it is, why can't they make it easier?
Yeah.
It is even difficult for sighted people to download those forums.
Yeah.
I mean, I had my teacher email the information to a sighted friend. She couldn't download the book. It's just too doggone difficult.
Mm.
I really think that in time it'll be easier as more of the upgrades are, and I'm thinking, I guess, mainly of the stream. I think that HumanWare is doing what it can, maybe not fast enough what we like, but, you know, there have been improvements in the upgrades already, and hopefully in the future it will be a lot easier.
Hi, Rob.
Yeah.
Yes, well, the question came.
It's now for NLS and also for Bookshare.
Okay, I don't know. The only thing I would like to say here is that HumanWare has come up with their own software called the Companion.
Yeah.
Companion, now, because we also worked with the last name here. And it has some nice features, and you can do a lot of stuff automatically once the book is saved onto your hard drive. And it can actually transfer and unzip the books and transfer them
You know,
Mike, this is a question for Mike Keithley. As I recall, there was an article in the BC about downloading, wasn't there?
Yes, in 2008.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
The issue that talked about how to download from the MLS cabinet program, which is exactly the same as the current program, and how to get them on the street.
Okay. Did you get any feedback, Mike, about the article?
No.
Okay, because I looked at it, and I thought it was pretty interesting myself, but it seemed there were, as Dee mentioned, there's a multitude of steps you have to go through. I don't know if the process has been made easier.
Well, Jerry, with the stream companion software, once the book is downloaded and saved onto the hard drive, the software will literally locate all the books, and it will ask you which ones you want to transfer. You can check off the ones that you want. You can also manage the location either on your screen or whether you're connected as a removable drive or whether you just got the SD card in the card reader.
Okay.
You can manage both those locations. So it really does simplify things a lot to use the software.
Okay.
So I really think that's the best advice that I can give.
Would anyone like to have that considered as the Spring Convention speaker for lunch to either get someone from HumanWare or someone who's very well versed in that to talk about loading using the companion?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do it. Okay. We'll talk to the board. Talk to the board, and we'll get it done. Okay, thank you very much. That's some great provocative issues there, Dee. Hold on,
let me. Jerry, I'm sorry.
Oh, there he is.
Here he is.
Had a triple glitch.
Yeah. I know you're. Did you have? Do you have available, Peter, a treasurer's report?
Yes, I do. I sent the record down.
Oh, great.
California Chapter Libraries of America treasurer's report, the period April 4th, 2009 to October 30th, 2009. Beginning balance, $270. Membership dues in the amount of $160. And our ending balance is $430. And this concludes the treasurer's report.
Oh. Peter, will you be available at lunch to collect dues?
Yes, I will.
Okay. Let's not do it in the middle of the meeting here because we're about ready to get into a heavy discussion. Thanks. So please look Peter up at our lunch, and we'll be glad to relieve you of $20.
Can we pay our dues in April?
Yeah.
Paid our dues in April.
Yeah, you can, but you know that's because you know we didn't collect at the beginning. You can do it any time. It'll be good to the end of that year, so you can.
So the one in April, you can to the end of this year.
No. Yes. Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So
we
do need to
have. Yeah. Okay. Probably many of you know that. On Saturday, we'll have a discussion about making a major, major organizational change for CCB. The issue has come up from time to time about whether this organization should hold one or two conventions a year. And for those of you who are first timers or who have never been to an organization convention, CCB holds its conventions traditionally twice a year, usually one in April and one in October. And the one in October is generally held in Northern California. I'm sorry. All right. You got me there. Yeah, the one in that's what I said, Southern California. No, the one. That's exactly what I said. So, yeah, it's the other north. It's the Los Angeles part. It's the northern part of Los Angeles where it is. Yeah. So, generally, the Spring Convention is held in
No, the spring is generally in the north. The spring is in the north.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fall is in the south.
Yeah, but you didn't.
I didn't say.
The fall is in the north.
I did? Oh, all right. Whoa, man. I need more liquor around here. That's a problem. Okay. Yeah, the spring convention is usually in the north, and the fall is generally in the south, or in this case, we're kind of in central California. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, now the groundswell for discussion and has really come up again for a variety of reasons to change our convention structure to have one convention a year, and that's a topic of considerable controversy and will generate quite a lot of discussion, I guess, on Saturday, and we're going to be voting on that topic Sunday. And as your delegate, I want direction from this organization as to how we should cast our vote when it comes to that time for voting. Now, I can split the vote as your delegate. We generally have 5 votes as a being a statewide affiliate. We can vote all 5 votes one way or split it. We can choose not to vote, which to me is the least desirable option at all, but we can do that. So I want direction from all of you as to how we should cast our vote. At this time, let me see. Why don't we do this? Is there anyone? First, we'll try to get this structured if at all possible, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe there will be no discussion. Is there anyone who wants to speak in favor of 2 conventions a year?
I would.
Okay, you're up.
Oh, my turn?
Yes.
No, I'm Nance Younger from Riverside, and I think the affiliate is having maybe a little problem as it is. I know with the economic times the way they are, and there are several reasons why there should be one convention a year, but I think it's going to hurt all the affiliates. I think people are going to lose interest, and there's got to be a way for CCB to have some kind of incentive to have a convention twice a year. Maybe people want to have a monetary savings fund that where CCB uses the interest and just put, I don't know how they would manage it, but apply it towards a convention for a person or whatever, that people would have to pay into it if they could, I'm saying, whenever they wanted to. But there's got to be a way, I think, to continue the way it is, with it the way it is, because I think there's going to be a problem with the affiliates. And there's going to be more of a lack of interest and more apathy if the conventions are only once a year, I think, anyway.
Excellent point. Any other person want to speak for 2?
I would like
to. Okay. Gloria?
Hi there, this is Gloria Broderick from Pasadena, near LA. I think Nancy has some good points, and those are my feelings as well, that if we go to one convention, the affiliates are going to have to be... Affiliates who don't have newsletters really should have newsletters, because we just need to keep up the interest, and it's hard enough to do it with 2 conventions. With 1 convention, I think it would really be imperative that affiliates have newsletters to communicate with their members. And also, the one nice thing about 2 conventions a year is that there are some of us who just come to every convention there is and it doesn't matter, but then there are others who can only come to the conventions which are in their geographical area, because they just can't afford to fly down to LA every year, or whatever, up to San Francisco or whatever it is. And that gives people an opportunity to go to at least 1 convention a year, whereas if we have 1 convention a year, it probably will be, 1 year in the north and 1 year in the south. That's probably how they'll do it. I don't know that for a fact, but they probably will. And that means that people would only get to come to conventions every 2 years. So, I guess I'm in favor of 1 convention now for a few years, but I really hope that we would bring it back to 2 later on, as soon as we can, because I just think it's important. Thanks.
Okay. Hold on. Peter, are you speaking in behalf of 2 conventions or 1?
I support 2 conventions.
Okay. Peter, you're up, and then Mike.
I would support 2 conventions, and I would not go to 1 convention and try to get back to 2. Unfortunately, if I think we make the change, it'll be for an extended period of time, and I would not support going to 1 convention. Gloria made some great points. People can choose to go either to the north or to the south. And if we go to one convention, they'd have to attend a convention every other year if they wanted to make that same choice. And I think it's going to really affect our special interest affiliates, as members of the organization have said. So I would really support the library users supporting two conventions a year.
Okay, Mike? Hold on.
I think that the notion of one convention now switching to two just is just impractical, like I think Peter was saying, because there'll be major constitutional changes to go to one convention, and to do that all that over again just really doesn't make sense. Thank you.
Okay. And before we get to the other side, any final person speaking in favor of two conventions? Okay.
I don't see anybody, Jerry.
Okay. How about anyone who favors one convention
like
a year? Debbie?
Oh,
you're
yes. Like right okay. To those who used to be my friends, okay, I understand the argument for keeping two conventions. I understand your reasons, and they're good reasons, actually. I think one problem is that there is a fear of change. I think that affiliates, if they really work at it, can be creative and establish more phone conferences. There's so many of these where it doesn't cost. Many of us that are blind have unlimited long distance. There are many free conference, free conference phone numbers that you can call. And I think that one convention could be a challenge for us to maybe be a little bit more creative in keeping our chapters together. Also, I wonder about the organization. They are funding more and more money for these hotels. We're just paying a part of it, and the hotel rates are not going to be going down in the near future. And I think of how is our organization going to last if it keeps having to fund and subsidize more and more? Also, in the spring, historically, there are less people that go to the convention, and I think it has little to do whether it's in the north or in the south. Many people go to the national convention, and they feel they can't go to the spring convention. So I think it makes total sense to have a fall convention down south, and then in the next year have the fall convention in the north and have no spring conventions, so that people that want to can go to the national convention since they are less attended. So those are the reasons, even though I would accept two, I think there's some legitimate arguments for having one convention. And also people's SSI, many people that are blind are in SSI, their funds are being cut. But the other things, their utility bills, they're not being cut. And a lot of times they really have to save every nickel to come to these things. And I think it would ease the burden a little bit on the individual and the organization to have one convention per year. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else would like to speak to? Okay. Rob, and then who's the? Okay. Rob, and then we'll have Ann Kaiser, and then Janine. Okay.
So for the record, we're going to have Rob, Janine, and Kaiser. Correct.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you.
I think this is a very difficult issue, and one of the things that I would like to see this affiliate do is similar to what the Silicon Valley chapter did in terms of handling this. And basically they said that they would let the delegate, the affiliate would make a decision one way or the other in terms of if they were in favor or not. I kind of get the feeling that, given what we've heard, that this affiliate would be in favor of the two conventions, but that they would allow the delegate to make the decision based on input from the CCV leadership and the discussions that take place throughout the convention. And I favor this approach because I feel that there may be circumstances and financial considerations that we haven't heard yet that might cause us to really have to go to one convention a year, whether we want to or not. I would, to me, the solvency of the organization is more important than, you know, in other words, I want to see this organization be able to continue its legislative efforts. I think we need to keep in mind our primary purpose is advocacy, and, you know, we need to be able to function effectively as an organization, and if two conventions a year affects that ability negatively, then I think we need to be careful. So I would, for me, I would like to give the delegate as much flexibility as we can.
Okay, I think I heard Ann and then Janine. Okay, fine. Sounds good.
I was just thinking about those of us that live in the Central California area and how we have to travel both ways. We have to be the ones to travel. And if there might be a way to, like you were talking about, if we did change to one convention per year, to include the Central Valley in that.
Okay, great. And Kaiser.
Well, I'm going to say something that honestly, I'm going to pose a question, and I don't really have the answer, but I know this is a valid question. California obviously is certainly one of the largest state affiliates of ACB. We're also one of the very few, maybe the only one, that holds a convention twice a year. There are some pretty large affiliates like Pennsylvania, Massachusetts. You know, they have a large Pennsylvania that have large blind populations that somehow get their business done only, you know, with one convention a year. And I know that some of the affiliates, what they do, special interest affiliates, is they'll have some regional kind of mini conventions. I know some of the guide dog users groups in different states have like a once a year get together in a certain part of the state and get a lot of their business done that way in a couple of days, kind of a mini GDU whatever. And it seems like something, I don't know if Lua or Kahlua could do anything like that because it's not that large of an affiliate, but it poses the question how other states do it, because obviously they do and they exist and they're remaining relatively solvent. You don't hear about state affiliates disappearing. So it does beg the question, you know, if they can do it, why can't we? So thank you.
Okay. I'm going to end this pretty soon and just give you my final thoughts. I'm not going to say which way I want to, you know, as a personal preference, I would go. But let's see if there's any more final speakers. Okay, great. Let me, you know, and I really appreciate what Rob had to say in terms of giving the delegate some flexibility, you know, pending information that we haven't heard yet from Saturday's discussion. My feeling right now is that wherever I can, you know, I'm going to represent the affiliate and its membership. And the membership that has spoken, the, you know, and at this point probably I'll vote 3 for 2 convention and 2 votes for 1 convention. A fairly close split, because it sounded like we have just maybe a one person more who favored the 2 convention model. I'm open for any individual discussion. As I say, I'm always wandering around. Usually I know where I'm going, but not often. So not always. So you can always catch me if you want to give me some other information that we haven't talked about, and we'll see how the discussion flows on Saturday. Well, I can actually do 2.5, 2.5, but
no.
That, you know, that kind of cancels us out.
No,
you know?
So
at this point, you know, unless there's something extraordinary, and unless some of you have some very, very burning issues that you want to discuss with me that haven't been brought up, it'll be, for me anyway, 3 for 2 convention, 2 votes for 1.
But if they say something Sunday that it is really going to hurt the organization, I mean, just to give an example, if it's really going to hurt the organization to have 2, then you would change that?
Well, I'll take that into advisement. You know, as your delegate, I take my role very seriously, and I think what you all have said really matters. And yeah, there's if there's something really extraordinary, I can guarantee you that people are going to have very passionate conviction one way or the other. Everything that's going to be said by anyone is going to have some real significant implication for CCP's future. Okay, so whether it's going to hurt the organization or help it, you know, is a matter of interpretation, I think, because everyone's going to have some very strong points. So,
well, what I was really getting at, I guess, and maybe not saying it right, if Jeff says, you know, just for an example, you know, we cannot financially afford to subsidize the way we've been subsidizing and continue with two conventions. That's the kind of thing I meant, not just arguments.
Yeah. Well, I'll certainly look at that, Debbie. And if there are ebbs and flows in the discussion that really make a major difference, in my view, yeah, I don't want to ever put something in concrete and say this is unchangeable, this is the way it is, and what have you. But barring anything
right.
of real significance, this is the way I plan to vote. Thank you very much for your participation. We will see you all in a few minutes. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have a number of things to do this morning, and we don't want to shortchange our speaker, and we have a couple of other things to get done. So what I'd like to do is get this started right away. In keeping with our tradition, we'd like to introduce everyone in the room so we all know who we are. And I'll start very quickly at our head table. I'm Jerry Arakawa, the Lua president.
Gloria Broderick, member of the National Library Users Board and the Kahlua Board at the moment.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Wendy Eisenberg, and I'm the librarian for the Fresno Talking Book Library. Thanks.
Sam Doherty, San Francisco.
John Ross, Greater Bakersfield Chapter and treasurer for Railway Vital, Megan, California.
Marlene O'Neill, president of BRLC.
Your scene got passed down.
Steve Fort, Bay Area Chapter, East Bay, Bay Area.
Here you go.
Glenda Castle, San Diego Chapter, delegate.
Okay, I'm going to move on to this table over here. How about you?
I'm Peggy Roberts from Butte County.
I'm Don Roberts, and I'm from Chico.
You want to hold it? There you go.
Hi, I'm Adele Moeller, and I'm from Fremont.
I'm Lena Bandy from Los Angeles and Vice President of Blind Students of California.
I'm Jessica. I'm from Atwater, California.
Peter Pardini, San Francisco.
Dan.
Dan Kaiser, Sacramento, avid fan of talking books.
All right.
We love to hear that.
David Jackson from San Francisco. I do like the stream.
Yeah. There you go.
Stream user, okay.
See, Rob Turner, Silicon Valley, and recording secretary for BRLC.
Okay. I'm Pamela Metz, president of Greater Los Angeles Chapter, and I probably read four to six books a week.
Ooh. All right. That's great.
I'm Aisha Wendt, secretary of the Long Beach chapter, and I am a fan of reading. I love my Victor Stream and all of my other reading devices.
My name is Robert Wendt from Long Beach.
Jenny. Hi. It's Jenny. I'm Janine Holtz from Fresno.
All right. Got a lot of stream users in the room today. Okay.
Robert Campbell, San Luis Obispo area.
Send it either way. It doesn't matter.
Marcy Knudsen, secretary for Central Coast Low Vision Council.
My name is Keith Johnson, presently living in Pasadena, formerly a resident of Fresno, California.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Joel Isaac, Orange County Chapter.
Judy Wilkinson, San Leandro. I have little green boxes, but I also download lots of books.
Steve Mendelson, San Leandro. I'd just like to say a word on behalf of WebRail.
WebRail, all right.
Ann Kaiser, Sacramento, president of Guide Dog Users of California. And I love my stream also. I have several books and tons of music and other things. I the best invention ever.
Pat LaFrance Wolf from Temple City, California, and I have 27 brand new books downloaded on my Plex Talk.
Oh. Yes. Okay, there you go. Debbie Berry, recording secretary for Library Users of California, otherwise known as Kahlua, and I think that we should take advantage of every reading device that we have available to us.
Beautiful.
Bill Berry, Kahlua member and avid reader and a great fan of the stream.
I'm Lee Hughes. I'm with Valley Center for the Mind. I'm in independent living schools, and that's in Fresno. And I also am an avid reader. Tim?
I'm Tim Hunt, and I live in Fresno. I've been reading books for 49 years, and I'm looking forward to computer downloads.
Okay, Chuck?
I'm Chuck Krugman. I'm visiting the convention. I live in Fresno. And my cat is a fan of the Talking Book Library here in Fresno.
His cat sends us email.
I'm Connie Bateman, and I'm from the Capital Chapter in Sacramento.
Okay. I'm Preston Moses. I'm from San Pablo, and I'm from Alameda Chapter in Berkeley, also Bayview as well. And I love reading books. I'm going to pass this to you.
Okay. I'm Peter Carwell. I'm from San Pablo and from the LMEA chapter. And president of the chapter, particularly the same chapter, President Moses was introduced himself. He's who he's from. And been reading books and all that in the years past. And it's great. Good, Daryl. All right, let's mic for you.
I am Daryl Wilkerson and from San Pablo and am a member of the Bayview chapter. And I'm a avid reader.
I'm Linda O'Neill. I'm from the Capital Chapter, Sacramento. I'm an avid reader. I'm an avid old-time radio borrower from Fresno Library, and I'm looking forward to learning how to download books to my Victor stream.
Hi, I'm Nancy Younger. I'm from Riverside. I'm with the Active Blind Inland Valleys chapter of CCV. Thank you.
All right.
There you go.
Hi, I'm Lucia Heinzel from Santa Rosa, and I can read, too.
Okay, go this way. Here you go.
Oh, I'm Katrina McCurdy from the Alameda County Club, and I live in San Leandro. Here's Pam.
I'm Pam Loveland from Oakdale, California, formerly of Alameda County Chapter in Berkeley. I love reading, love books. Thank you.
I'm Linda Amati. I'm also actually an inactive member of Alameda County Chapter, living in Oakdale now, near Modesto. And I read every chance I get, and I love it, and I'm anxious to start working with the downloadable books as soon as I can get my computer in halfway decent shape. Anyway, and I'm also a member of Kahlua.
Hi, I'm Penny Valdovinos, president of the Greater Bakersfield Council of the Blind. I've been an avid reader since I could read. I've read every book in the library I could get my hands on when I could see. And I'm thankful that now that I can't see, I have the reading, I don't have to give up my reading.
Brandy Morgan, president of Blind Students and vice president of Greater Bakersfield. And I work full-time as an advocate. I go to school full-time, and I still read 5 books average a week.
I'm Diane Deutsch from Tehachapi. I'm a member of the Redwood Empire Council of the Blind in Santa Rosa. I have 21 books on my stream right now, and I'm like Pam. I read 4 to 6 books a week. Love it. Couldn't manage without my books.
Meryl Brown, Santa Rosa, Redwood Empire Chapter Treasurer. I'm also a vet, and they called me the other day to tell me I was first in line to get the new machine, but I had an overdue book, so I'm back in the pot.
Yeah.
Okay, my name is Alton Page, and I'm from San Pablo, and I'm just a helper here. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Joanne Newt, and I'm a helper also with Peter Crockwell and Preston and Daryl Wilkerson. It just amazes me how Peter and Daryl and how they get around, you know. And it would be a very scary world for me because I'm sighted if I couldn't see. So I applaud everyone in here. And also, Katrina, hi. She wrote down with us and she said she's getting a train back.
Okay. Well, it's wonderful to meet everybody.
Okay. Before we, we're now starting to receive our food, and again, it's just such a pleasure to see so many people, and I note so many new faces that we haven't seen. Maybe because we're in Fresno, but also some of the new folks from San Pablo and from some of the other areas. And welcome to those of you who have this is your first luncheon here at Kahlua, and we'll see you again. What I want to do, we want to. I'm just going to wait a couple more minutes. We have two things we want to do, actually three things, and then we'll have Wendy speak to us. The first, I want to. I've been asked by Rob Turner and Marlene O'Neill to make two very brief announcements,
right.
And then we have one more piece of business to do. But I wonder if Marlene, can you stand up, and we'll. I'll ask Wendy to get the mic over to you for a minute.
Hello, everybody, and my name is Marlene O'Neill. I'm the president of BRLC, and thank you all for coming. First of all, BRLC works with the Braille Challenge. The Braille Challenge is an organization where children from 1st to 12th grade compete in different sites around the country, and they take tests in reading, speed, comprehension, and spelling. And they compete in countries, sites around the country. Whoever has the highest scores will go to Los Angeles in June, and then there's a grand prize winner. There's usually about 65 kids who do this. And we as BRLC collect donations for, because what we do with the money is we get we help provide transportation for a student who otherwise couldn't afford to go to Los Angeles. And they go first, it's from the first grade to the 12th grade, so they need a adult with them because they're all minors. John Ross will come around quietly and collect donations for this cause for BRL, for our Braille Challenge. So no contribution is too big or too small. But before we do that, I'd like to do one other thing before I lose John. I'd like Janine Holtz is from Fresno, and she was our speaker this morning. And I'd like her to come up here. We had a raffle. BRLC had a raffle. And I'd like Janine to draw our winners. And the first prize is $100. The second prize is $50. And the third prize is $50. So, Janine, would you like to draw the first number, please?
Sure.
Okay. You got the ticket?
Oh, you're not going
to What? Okay. Well, let her. Did she draw it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can't believe it. Steve Fort won the first prize of $100. Yep, there's two more.
Dorothy Uliano. Dorothy.
Okay. Okay, here's Dorothy's ticket. There you go.
Okay, I'm bringing them up.
Mix, mix, mix. Okay, and it is Holly Hines. Is Holly here? Holly Hines from Burbank.
Thank you very much.
Here's Holly's ticket.
I have another meeting. Thank you so much. Okay.
Do you need the mic back?
That does it. Thank you.
Okay.
That does it for me, and I guess Rob would be next.
Rob Turner's next, yes.
Rob? Okay, hold on. Thank you.
Okay, I'm speaking here with my Bookshare hat on. This is going to be about Bookshare.
Nice hat.
So, the first bit of news is that we have now exceeded the 60,000 book total in our collection. We've got now we've got over 65,000 members. We recently implemented a book quality reporting system. So if you read a book and you find there's a lot of errors, or even if there's minor things that you think we can get fixed, what you do is you just choose the book title link, you know, and you go onto that book page, and toward the bottom of the page you're going to see it'll say book quality, you know, file a book quality report. So that's how we can get feedback. We have at least 36 publishers contributing to the library now. And I can give you some of those names. Well, let me talk about the volunteers also first. They contribute a lot to the collection. If anyone wants to volunteer, you can go to our webpage and log in and then look for the volunteer link. And because a lot of people scan their own books, and we could, you know, those books can be added to the collection, you know, with the proper editing and so forth. Okay, let's see. Coming soon, we're going to the Encyclopedia Britannica has agreed to provide information to us, so that will be available. The encyclopedia text. Also, we're going to be implementing a what's called a full text search feature. What that means is that when you do a full text search, you'll be able to look through the text in the book itself. So if you're looking for a book about Vietnam, it doesn't have Vietnam will have to be in the title, or if you're looking to learn about Asia or whatever, and it'll actually search the text of the collection. This isn't so important for this audience, but we are also coming out with an extension to Firefox, the Firefox web browser called AnyDaisy. And basically it will be a Daisy reader that will be built in to Firefox. So, okay. That's going to be available from, yeah. As far as other publishers, getting back to that, university presses are beginning to contribute. We've got UC Berkeley, University of Chicago, University of New York, and I'm sure a few others that I'm missing. Also, I want to let anybody know that a lot of these colleges, the Disabled Student Service offices, do scanning of books for the students. And anybody who is using that is encouraged to have them contact Bookshare again. It's anything, you know, the idea is to get all these books that are being scanned added into our collection. That's how the collection grows. And let's see, anything else? That is about it. If anybody has questions, I do have Bookshare brochures with me. And I don't mean now. I mean after. You know, you can contact me. I'm in room 529, and I've got brochures. So anyway, that's it. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Are you guys going to be releasing any software to help edit the errors in the books? In scanning errors, like scanning editing software, that we can just run the software, clean up the go a long way to clean up the file?
Not at this point, no.
We want to limit a number of things that we want to get done, and we want to give our speaker extra time. So catch Rob in his room. He mentioned 529.
529.
The raffle winner is 529.
That's the opposite of 9 to 5.
Before we have our presentation this morning, I want to do a piece of business that is going to be somewhat unexpected but absolutely necessary. Let me give you some background. We're going to have an election. We recently revised our constitution such that some of our officers, namely the vice president and the treasurer and one board member, is elected during odd number years. I'm sorry, the even number years, and the president, the secretary, and another board member is elected on the even years. This morning, we conducted election for three officers. The vice president, who, by the way, is Pat France Wolf. Congratulations to Pat. Our treasurer is Peter Pardini. And we had an election for the board. Unfortunately, when we did the count, there was a whole section inadvertently missed. by our tallier. So what we're going to do is kind of a do-over. It's kind of, but not exactly, because we have a lot more people here. So we're going to have an election for one board member. And I'm going to mention the two names, the two individuals who are up for election. And what we are going to press Wendy Eisenberg into triple or quadruple duty, and she's been very gracious to do this for us. She's going to be our vote tallier. The two names, the two nominees for board member are Gloria Broderick, who's the incumbent, and Connie Bateman. Okay? Now, what we'd like to do, what we're going to do, is I'm going to ask the only members, those of you who are paid, dues-paying members of Kahlua, to vote, please. And what we will do is to get a vote for each member, and then Wendy will let me know the count, and then I'll announce the winner. Okay? So please, only members, vote. And we will start with the incumbent.
You ready? Sorry? Are you ready to pass?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hands raised really
high. Please raise your hands really high if you want Gloria Broderick on the board.
I'm going to be walking around the tables and counting. Thank you.
Okay. Now, those of you who wish Connie Bateman to be on the board, please raise your hands high. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Congratulations to Connie Bateman. Welcome to the board, Connie, and it's great to have you on the board. This is going to be a two-year term, and for next year, we will be, as I mentioned, we will be voting for, we'll be electing a president, secretary, and another board spot. Since everyone's making brief announcements, we have a number of brief announcements. I want to mention something I mentioned earlier this morning at our business meeting. Lua dues are now payable, and for next year, the dues are $20, and for that $20, we receive the Lua ledger, or we're supposed to receive the Lua ledger. So there's been some controversy around that, so I'll have to examine that with the ledger's editor. We remain an affiliate of the national organization, Library Users of America. We use the money to fund our speakers for lunch. That is to say, not that Wendy's getting any remuneration, but it pays for our lunch for the speakers. We also as a viable organization, as a viable affiliate, I'm able to write as part of a letter if Kahlua needs to take a position on anything, that we are, and this is absolutely true, that we are the largest organization of library users or consumers in the country, the largest state affiliate. So that's very important. So as I said this morning, I think library, we've heard so many testimonies, if you will, about how important reading is and information access is from you, the membership. I really believe that we are on right at the crossroads of tremendous information access. The whole revolutionary advent of the ebook through the Kindle and through the Sony product, its competitor, is now out on the market. We have access to more information, as I said, than we've ever had in the history of the organized blind movement. And I want to make sure, and your board has the same commitment, to make sure that blind and visually impaired folks don't get left out of this access. Those of you who know, those of you who have been keeping up with this, know that there's a lot of issue around the Kindle, for example. where it's a great tool and it's become very popular, but there's been issues around access, that is to say spoken word access, through the Kindle, because a number of publishers do not want their material to be spoken out loud through text-to-speech. So they don't mind if it's visual on the screen of the Kindle, but they've raised issues around whether these books should be spoken. And it's those kind of advocacy issues that we need to stay on top of, we need to be a part of. And you, as a member or an interested party, you're right in the middle of this. So we want to continue to have interesting, provocative, informational speakers. Want to keep this organization viable. The fact that we have such a great turnout on a regular basis for lunch says to me that, you know, we're really hungry for information. And I congratulate all of you for being here. So to get to the bottom line, we certainly need your dues. We welcome your membership. We crave your participation. If you folks do want to pay your $20 annual dues, renew, see Peter Pardini, who's here. We will send you some information. If you don't pay at this point, we will send you some information during the remainder of this year so that you can renew your dues if you so choose. So I wanted to get that plug in before we got too sleepy with this chicken.
Good afternoon, everybody. And welcome to Fresno. For those of you who aren't already from Fresno, I am really, really glad to be here. Gosh, I feel like a rock star in this room, I tell you. It's wonderful to be among a group of people who love their NLS libraries and love reading. I am the librarian and have been for 10 years the librarian of the Talking Book Library here in Fresno. We are the sub-regional library that serves Fresno, Madera, Kings, and Tulare counties, so four counties. And, of course, I'm sure you all know that Sacramento covers Northern California. The Braille and Talking Book Library up there, which is through the California State Library. And San Francisco is its own little island. They have their own sub-regional for the city and county of San Francisco. And the Braille Institute down in L.A. is our other California NLS library. And I'm really here representing all four NLS California libraries to say that we love our library users and we need our library users. And we're just so excited to be able to share about the Digital Talking Book today. And this has been a long time coming, hasn't it? Probably at least 15 years when they started to think about what was going to be the next format after cassettes. The obvious choice back then would have been CDs. CDs are cool. CDs have good sound quality. They're easy to use. You can put a fair amount of information on them. But CDs have a lot of disadvantages, too, especially with the kind of the service that we provide, with multiple uses for each book being mailed back and forth all the time. CDs are easily scratched, easily smudged, easily dented. And also, most books would still require multiple CDs because you really can't put that much more on one CD than you can on one cassette. It became really clear to NLS that CDs were not going to be the format of the future. There were just too many disadvantages for our users and for the program. So then the Library of Congress went on a hunt to see what technology can we use? What are we going to do after cassettes? We need something that's going to be easy, durable, convenient, and affordable for the program. And around this same time, flash memory technology began to come on the market in digital cameras and other things like that. Flash memory can hold a huge amount of information in a very small chip. The sound quality is very good. It doesn't degrade. And NLS made the decision, we're going to go with flash memory technology. So then they had to work on a format that would be using the flash technology, but that would be for the users of this program, that it would be easy to handle, easy to use, easy to label, easy for people who are blind or visually impaired to work with. to use the flash memory to the greatest possible advantage. And so over a period of many years, after all, this is the government, much testing, much budgeting, much decision-making. They got input from consumers. They got input from organizations of the blind. The books and the machines were finally ready for their pre-launch test earlier this spring. And 8 lucky libraries were selected as pre-launch testing libraries, and they each got an allotment of books and an allotment of machines for their users to test, a certain number of users to test. And then finally, the actual rollout began early this summer. On August the 2nd, 2009, Fresno received our first digital book. And on September the 2nd, 2009, we received our very first allotment of digital machines. So it really hasn't been that long. It's only been a few weeks that we've really been rolling out these machines. And so far, it's rave reviews, absolutely rave reviews. Currently, here in Fresno, we have about 450 digital books so far, and more are arriving every day. And we have 45 machines out in the field to our military veterans. We're looking forward to a new allotment of machines within the next couple of days. Now, I will tell you that the allotments have been a lot smaller than we had hoped, and it's going to take us longer to fulfill the needs of our users than we had hoped. But eventually, everybody will get the machine. Many months from now, all of our over 1,500 patrons in Fresno will be served, in addition to all of the other patrons of the regional and sub-regional libraries in California. Currently, every new book is being recorded both on cassette and on digital. So that is important to know, because if you want to read a new book and you want to read it quickly, you have that option of the cassette. And that will continue for another 1 to 2 years, new books being recorded in both formats, until they make the decision for a cutoff point after which there will be no new cassettes at all, and all the new books will be in the digital format only. In addition to the new books that we've been receiving, NLS selected somewhere over 13,000 older titles from the collection to be retrospectively converted to digital. So, unfortunately, that's only about 1/5 of the cassette collection, but we do have those available. We will have those available. Now, each library was only allowed to select a certain number of those, so that entire retrospective collection is available for download, but it's not going to be available in every library on cartridge. Libraries each picked a certain allotment of these titles to have in the digital cartridge format at their libraries. And all of those 13,000 plus all of the new books are available for the digital downloads on the NLS Braille and Audio Reading Download or BARD website, which sounds like a lot of you are already doing onto your streams. Basically, you can download any of the new titles and any of the retrospective titles that are available. You can download them onto a flash drive and play them in the new player. You can download them onto your stream. And also, by the way, Independent Living Aids, which is a vendor of adaptive technology, is now selling a blank NLS cartridge with a USB connector for downloading onto a blank cartridge once you have the new digital machine. So that's pretty cool, too. I'm sorry? I think when you get the cartridge with the USB connector, it's like $18.95. I don't quote me on that. I'm not exactly sure. And the cartridge without the USB port, without the USB connector cord, because you only need to buy that once. You only need one, and then you can buy cartridges. I think they run about maybe $15. But don't quote me on that. I didn't look it up before I came over. Okay, but the nice thing about it is that you don't even have to do that, because we are going to be having the books on cartridge just like we have on cassette, and we will be mailing them out just like the cassettes. So if people don't want to deal with the hassle of downloading, each library will have the books on cartridge. Now, where did I put my cartridge? Here it is. Okay. Now, think about a cassette and the fact that a normal book usually requires at least two cassettes, sometimes up to six, sometimes more. What I have here is a little white cartridge. It's about the same size as a cassette, but this holds the entire book. This is the flash memory chip is encased in the white plastic cartridge. It does have large print and braille labeling on it. It has a USB port on the side that plugs into the machine, and it has a finger hole, which makes it real nice and easy to take it in and out of the machine. The cartridges are mailed in blue boxes, which are basically exactly like the green boxes, except they're thinner. And we love that because that means we can keep more books on the shelves for you. And they match the royal blue of those CCB shirts over there. Now, we have two models of the machine. There is a standard model, and there is an advanced model. The standard model is awesome for fiction readers and people who like to just read a book straight through. They don't need to go back and forth a lot. They don't need to skip by chapters. They don't necessarily need to do a lot of jumping around in a book. They want to read a fiction book straight through or read a biography or a history book straight through. Simple, easy, real good sound quality, real easy to use. The advanced model has a few extra features that really work well for people who are downloading magazines or people who are using nonfiction books that they want to maybe skip to the next chapter or go back to the chapter before. They have those features. The machine is much smaller than the cassette machine. The comparison is this new machine is about 6 by 9 by 2 inches versus the 9 by 11 by 3 inches of the cassette player. And it is 2 pounds versus 7 pounds. So it's a huge difference, and that's what I've been getting a lot of comments over at the exhibit booth about how nice and sleek and small it is. The buttons are large, and they are, each button is different, and they're so that they are easy to identify and easy to locate. Not only that, but when you have the machine on and you do not have a book in the machine at the moment, it will tell you exactly what button is doing what. I'm going to turn this standard machine on.
Player on. Press in. Volume. Maximum. To increase the volume by one step, press the volume up button. There are 15 volume steps. Play, stop. To start or stop playing a book, use the large play stop button. When the book is playing, press this same button to stop the player. Rewind. Press this rewind button once to move backward 5 seconds in the book. Press and hold this rewind button to move back further in the book. The longer you hold the button down, the more quickly you will move backward. The player will tell you how far the reading position has moved.
And that's a...
Hold down the rewind button for 10 seconds, you will back up 15 minutes in the book. If you hold down the rewind button longer than 10 seconds, the reading position will continue moving, progressively faster, back to the previous chapter, where it will then move from chapter to chapter. You will hear a beep at the start of each chapter. If you hold down the rewind button long enough, you will reach the beginning of the book. When you release the rewind button after moving to a different chapter, the player will announce the name of that chapter and play from its beginning. If the player was stopped prior to pressing the rewind button, you will need to press the play button to hear the book. It is not necessary to rewind the book before returning it to the library.
That's an important thing to know. That is actually a really important thing to know, because what's cool about the cartridges is that the memory belongs to the machine and not the book. In other words, when you take a cartridge out and you put it back in the same machine, it will start again where you were. If you then take that cartridge out, send it back to the library, and another patron puts it in their machine, it starts at the beginning for them. The memory is machine-specific, not book-specific, and that's a really cool feature.
Even if you put the same book in, like, several months later.
Even if it's several months. Now, I can't guarantee that if some other patrons haven't used it in the meantime, that it would remember. I think it will, but I haven't tried that yet.
Well, sure. Well, because it's the machine.
Yeah. Again, if it's the same machine, it should remember. Here's another cool button. Now, I know
I know I have, and I bet every single one of you has fallen asleep while reading a book. And it doesn't mean the book is boring. It just means you're tired. Check this button out.
Sleep. Pressing the sleep button once will play 15 minutes of the book and then stop the machine. Pressing the sleep button twice will play the book for 30 minutes, 3 times for 45 minutes, and 4 times for 60 minutes before stopping playback.
So you can use that, and then it won't be playing all night. So you won't lose too much of your place in the book. So it has the play, the power, rewind, fast forward. It's got your volume controls, the sleep button. And then it also has the similar buttons that are on the cassette player as far as the variable speed and the tone going up and down. So some people like to play with those buttons. Some people don't worry about those particular buttons. On the advanced machine, there's a few extra features. There is what we call the menu button, and that basically tells you what level you're navigating at. Are you going by chapters? Are you going by phrases? Are you going by sentences? If you're in a magazine, are you going by sections or articles? And then it has the buttons for previous and next. So in other words, if you're on the chapter level of navigation, then the next button will flip you to the next chapter, and the previous button would take you to the chapter before. If you're on the phrase level of navigation and you press that next button, it'll take you to the next phrase. And it also has a bookmark feature where you can set bookmarks of places that you might want to go back to. And that the advanced machine also has all the same buttons, including the sleep feature. This is the Chronicles of Narnia. And it's all 7 books on 1 cartridge. I'm playing it on the advanced machine.
The complete Chronicles of Narnia. Current position. Chapter 1. Lucy looks into a wardrobe.
So let's see what level of navigation I'm at here.
Once there were chapter 4 children. Chapter 2. Chapter 3. Chapter 4.
Or I can go to...
Chapter. Jump. Phrase. Jump.
What do you mean? Sit with me here on the sledge. Gwendolyn with a bow and a smile. Comfortable.
While he was eating.
Anybody else adore Eric Sandvold as much as I do? Personally, I've listened to the commercial versions of the Harry Potter, and I've listened to the NLS versions of the Harry Potter. I love Eric Sandvold just as much, if not more, as I love Jim Dale. It's really, really true. Uh-huh.
An important thing to point out is that all those 7 Chronicles of Narnia books are on the same cartridge.
That's right. Now, I've actually had a couple questions about series. The reason that they put all these 7 Narnia books on one cartridge and one DB number, 50083, is because that is actually the way the cassette book was. When NLS recorded Narnia, they took a physical print book that had all 7 books in it, and they recorded it that way. That is why the series is all together for Narnia. I do not expect that other books in series, where the series books are in individual format in the print version, I do not expect that they will take them and put them together on one cartridge, however each individual book would be on one cartridge. And I have a question. That's you with the glasses right there. Did you have a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Wait. Oh, the bookshelf feature.
Okay, now,
unfortunately, I haven't really had the opportunity to familiarize myself with the bookshelf features. I'm afraid I can't answer that question, but I bet your library could. The bookshelf feature that she's referring to is a feature that will allow you to put, I think it's up to 5 different books onto one flash drive or one blank cartridge, and they will play in sequential order. And you can flip from one to the other if you have the advanced machine. So we're really excited about this digital technology. Unfortunately, again, the rollout is a bit slower than we had hoped. The allotments of machines that we were originally promised were a lot higher than the allotments machines that we're actually getting now. And by federal law governing the program, the military veterans get first preference. And then the centenarians, those who are 100 years of age or older. And then, do we have any centenarians here in the room? Anybody? No? And then the regular patrons. Okay, I have a lady here at the middle table who has a question. You had a question?
How many digital players does each library get? Because I signed up for a digital player, well, way back in the day of January. Well, this is October. So how many do they get a month?
And which library are you with?
San Francisco Library.
San Francisco is getting the smallest allotment of all, unfortunately. And I think, if I'm correct, so far their first two allotments have been less than 20 each. And their next allotment is probably maybe 30 to 40. We've got about 4 to 5 more allotments before the end of the year. So it's going to take a while, unfortunately. But if you're on the list, you just have to be patient. I hate to say that. Yeah. But yeah. As long as you're on the list, hey, that's a good thing. Yes, you had a question.
If you have a Victor Stream and you have one of those SD cords, then you can hook it up with put it in some special little place, and then you can play one of these flash drive things on the Victor Stream.
Actually, for the Victor Stream, they are now selling a cartridge adapter. It's a little silver holder, and I think it hooks onto the underneath part of your stream, and it has the USB port in there, and it's sized to fit the cartridge. So ask your HumanWare or whoever you bought your stream from about the NLS cartridge adapter for the Victor Stream. But then, because a lot of people might want to use that until they get their NLS cartridge playing machine. Yes, we have another question over here. Yeah.
I'm not sure, but is the CCB general session still scheduled to start in 5 minutes?
Do we have a session in 5 minutes? Is that correct? Do I need to finish up? Let me see what time it is. Any questions? I am at the exhibit booth. So please come see all the exhibitors. Yeah, it's 1:28, so I got about 2 minutes left, and I'm sorry about that. Any questions? If you want to get a hands-on with a machine, please stop by my exhibit booth. I'm here till 5 o'clock. I will not be here tomorrow. So today only till 5 o'clock. Come check it out.
Where are you located in the exhibit hall?
I am in the center area of the exhibit hall. They've got some tables around the outer rim of the room, and then they got some tables in the center of the room. I'm in the center of the room. By the way, I just wanted to say one more thing in closing. We need all of you library users to be ambassadors for the Talking Book Library Program. Each of our libraries is experiencing difficulties getting new users, keeping people interested. We need you to share your enthusiasm for this program so we can keep it going. Thank you.
Wow, a great presentation from our sub-regional library in Fresno. And it's so great to have this part of the state represented at our convention. The digital age is definitely here, and it's it is as whether we like it or not. I know some of us are very concerned about it, but as a user myself, well, I can't say enough positive things about it. It's very easy to operate. The machines are, as Wendy said, very intelligently designed and very intuitively designed. I think it's a lot easier to work than the Talking Book myself. So I want to thank Wendy for her wonderful presentation. Can we give her another round of applause? And thank all of you for coming to this lunch, and we will see all of you in Burlingame. And please don't forget your dues. See either Peter, myself, during this convention. We'll send out material sometime during the rest of the before the year ends. Thank you. Thank you again for coming.